I'd like to invite you to turn to our scripture reading, which comes from the book of John. John chapter 5, verses 33 through 35. John chapter 5, verses 33 through 35. This is reading of God's word. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. Amen. I think it's safe to say for me that for all of us, we like to share things that we find that is important or things that we enjoy. Someone who finds a good deal on Amazon, tendency is to share with somebody. I noticed during our fellowship pickleball time that there is such a variety of age differences. The older seems to share a lot about to the younger about insight into college entrance, maybe insight to job interviews, and for many about parenting. It's interesting during our pickleball time that these spiritual talks takes place. And it's a natural desire to wanting to share insight about life because for those who are older have experienced it. And the desire is not to parade their successes or their achievements, but I think it's an aspect of love and care that they have. They want to share insight. There's a genuine desire to help somebody. Now, some younger people may take that as too much involvement or nagging, but I think the intent is there. You ask anyone who's dating about their desire to share with whomever of this wonderful person that he or she has found. And that's normal, yes? Actually, you have to tell them, you know, I don't want to hear it anymore. You see, for a Christian, there is a genuine desire to share Christ with others. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, that Christians are alive to God. And what that means is that although we were spiritually dead, that the Holy Spirit has actually regenerated us and gave us a new heart and a new desire to love God. And what stems out of that is that we find this new gift of love and this wonderful person in Christ, and there is a desire to share that with others, just like when we find a good deal. It's natural. Yes, there is fear of rejection and fear of maybe I don't have all the answers and I don't want to look dumb, but at the heart of it, the desire is there. Why? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, Christ's love compels us. That's organic. That's not something made up. It's a new heart. And his love on the cross that is expressed to us, that it moves us wanting to share. And that is one of the signs that we know that we are in Christ. This is why I think the Bible says, using many metaphors to identify Christians, to communicate who we are, We are not, will be at some point, but the Bible says that we are already salt and light to the world. Or the Bible says that we are not will be, but we are already ambassador for Christ. Actually, Paul's writing goes even deeper and to say wherever we go for Christians, we are actually an aroma of Christ. We give a fragrance of who Jesus is. Therefore, Christians are redeemed, forgiven, but we're sent back to this world to be a representative of our Savior. So the goal this morning is not to question, it is our calling, it is your calling and mine, if you're redeemed in Christ. So the question becomes, what is our job? What is our role to be salt and light in this world? Does it mean that they have to be converted to Christ? Does it mean that we need to have all the answers and airtight apologetics wherever we go? And that's the question that I want to answer this morning. In the light that we're sending a Mexico or team to Mexico, in the light of you and me living in this world to be ambassadors of Christ, and what does that really mean to be a witness for Christ? Well, in this passage, the context in John chapter 5, verse 31 through 39, the word witness is used 6 times. And the word testimony is used 4 times. Therefore, Jesus uses these 10 words or 10 times to communicate what it means to give an evidence of who Jesus is. And therefore, this morning, we turn to Jesus' dialogue with a group of religious leaders. For those who attend bilingual Bible study, this is a repeat for you, review. I shared with you during our study, I was so convicted by this passage. I had to repent many things. And so I titled the message, Witness for Christ. I'm going to unpack the passage. If you're following along, maybe 2 points. Number one, being a lamp. And then number two, love for the souls. And that's where we're going to get at. So we begin. What does it mean to be a witness for Christ? Well, Jesus says that we are lamps. Look with me to verse 33. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. So it's interesting. The context is that there was this man who has been paralyzed for 38 years. And the context teaches us that he has no family members, no friends. And so he's stuck. And Jesus comes and heals this person immediately. It's not gradual. And I shared with the Bible study group, when Jesus spoke, all the dead cells, the muscles, the bones heard their master's voice and they came alive. And he stood up and took the mat and started walking. But the point of this, what's kind of perplexing is that these religious leaders hears about this healing and sees the person. But the only thing that's on their mind is that Jesus broke the Sabbath law. He healed this man on the Sabbath. What's wrong with him? And so it's pretty interesting what you see and or not choose to see. So what Jesus is saying as he dialogues with his religious leaders, you, the religious leaders, sent to John, and John has borne witness to the truth. In other words, when John was doing his ministry at the beginning of the book of John, there were so many people flocking to him because of his authoritative teaching. And there was this, what we call as revival that took place. And people are repenting and getting baptized. And so these religious leaders were thinking, what's going on? Who is this fellow? So they sent a delegate there to find out what he's doing. And they come back with a report to say, I think he's legit. And that's what Jesus is saying. you know, you question me of who I am, even after this miraculous healing. But don't you remember? You sent the group to find out about John the Baptist, and he gave a very legit report. Remember what he said? The delegate came back and said, this is what John was teaching, that he is not the Messiah, and that Jesus indeed is the Son of God that we've been waiting for. He is the Lamb of God. That was the testimony that John gave. And then Jesus describes John the Baptist's role. Verse 35. He, John, was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. Jesus refers to John as a burning, shining lamp. What is a lamp? You know, for us who live in this modern age, lamp is something that you hook up to an outlet and it sheds light. Well, back then, lamp didn't work that way. They didn't have electricity. It had to be filled with oil. It had to be lit. But the purpose of the lamp at the end of the day is it's a source of light that gives, it lights a path or give a sight in darkness, right? That's the role of a lamp. And that's why in John chapter 1, verse 23, I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. John says when he was questioned who he was to the religious leaders or the delegates, he says, I am the one that Isaiah spoke about. I am the one who cries out to the wilderness, who makes straight path to the Messiah. And one of the biblical principles here is that, church, we are not the light. We are just mere lamps. And the purpose of the lamp is not to attract attention to myself, but to light the path to point to Jesus. Everything that we do, we're a lamp that lights the path to Jesus. You know, I don't know if you got a chance to visit 720 property. We had so many people work on it, and all the people gave rave ratings. What's the word? Ratings and, you know, I don't know, I forgot. Review. Thank you, Jim. People love it. The problem we're facing is now is that so many groups want to use that space. No one wants to use 730 anymore. It's available. So we have to make scheduling and things. So Bible studies meeting. There actually are young adults who just came back from their winter retreat. Welcome back. I actually turned the temperature down this morning because I know you'll be tired, and I didn't want you to fall asleep today. They had their Super Bowl party. Why? Because many of the young adults don't own their homes, their own homes. And so we had it there. They had a wonderful time. The reason why I'm sharing this is that if you're familiar with the property, it looks great during the day, but at night, it's pitch dark. It's hard to find your way. So what I did before my Bible study, I had this idea. I went to Walmart, bought some outdoor lights, and I hooked it up from the deck to the side road. And people said, wow, that's great. Now I can see where I'm walking, right? But if the purpose of those lighting was to say, look at me, what a beautiful light it is, that's not the purpose. The purpose is for the people who's coming, they can see the path to the church house for the Bible study. That's our goal. And according to the Bible, that's who we are, lamps. What does that mean? That we're lamps and we're pointing everything that we do to Jesus. Well, we get a kind of understanding from John the Baptist's teaching in chapter 1 and 2. Let me give you some examples of what it means to be a lamp. John says when people flocked to him, they thought he was the Messiah. He flatly denied it. I am not the Messiah. That's number one, to say, I don't have all the answers. I am not the answer. Number two, Jesus, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he sent all his disciples to Jesus. And don't hang around with me. You need to go to the Lamb of God, pointing to Jesus. Number three, he says, he must increase and I must decrease. That was his conviction. To be a lamb, the focus is not on me, but he must increase. And number three, I'm in a position that I am not worthy even to tie the thongs of the sandal of this man. You know what that means in that society, first century Middle Eastern culture? Only the slaves actually wash the feet of their master and tie their shoes. He's saying, I'm not even worthy to be that. That's what it means to be a lamb. I think sometimes when we do ministry, we have this Messiah complex. According to the Bible, we're not the light. We're mere lamps. All we can do is light a path that leads to Jesus. How do we do that? According to the Bible, our attitudes, our words, our actions, our lifestyle. Actually, 1 Peter says that if we live a certain way and the world sees the hope in you, Bible makes it clear, they will ask. And he says, be ready to share. And that is one of the things that we know that we're being a lamb. People are asking, you know, why do you live this way? Why do you have this kind of attitude? Why do you have this kind of perspective? And when we're asked, we're supposed to share and to say, it's all Jesus. Come and meet him. Now, how do we really know if we think we're the light and not the lamp, or we should be the lamp but not the light? I think there's a teaching in John chapter 5, verse 44, where Jesus points out the reason why you cannot come to me is that you seek glory from among your peers. In other words, the religious leaders, their life looked religious. They did the right thing. They went to synagogue. They read the Torah. They gave alms. They prayed all the time. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, you did it so that you can seek attention from men. They were seeking the applause of men. But Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, you know, there's certain people who like me, and because out of love for Christ, that they're witnessing and teaching. But there are certain people who have things against me so that they actually do ministry to make my life miserable. Do you remember what Paul said? What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. There it is. There's a person who knows he's a lamp. Doesn't matter if the world doesn't pay attention to me. Doesn't matter if people hate me. What matters is that the gospel is proclaimed, and in that truth, I rejoice. That's what it means to be a lamp. And what does it mean to point to Christ? If we read the rest of the passage, I don't have time to unpack. It's an amazing passage. It's pointing to Jesus. It's pointing to the Bible. It's directing to the truth. Now, we attract them to Jesus by our life, our attitude, and our love. But ultimately, it must point to Jesus. Self-revelation, the Bible. That's why he tells a religious leader, you know, you guys study the Bible, but you don't realize that Moses was all pointing to me. But you don't see me as the Messiah. There's something wrong here, you see. But notice what Jesus said about John. This is the part that got my own heart. He refers to John the Baptist as a lamp, but a lamp that is burning and shining. Did you catch that? In order for a lamp to shine, it has to burn. It has to have oil. It has to burn in order to shine. I think that's what Jesus means, to take up the cross and follow me. Because there's a certain lifestyle that attracts others in this world that are seeking the truth. Secondly, so we're mere lamps, church. You know what that means? We're not in position to save lives, people of conversion. That's up to God. All we can do is point people to Jesus. Isn't that relieving? That is so relieving. And one of the reasons why many Christians have a hard time sharing the gospel is fear of rejection. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Christ. Don't take it personal. We're just merely a lamp. You see how freeing this is if we understand our identity and our role? We're not the light. Number two, I think this is the heart of the matter. Love for soul. Verse 34. This is Jesus saying. It's amazing what he says here. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. Notice what Jesus says. Listen, the reason why I'm sharing these evidences about John the Baptist is not because I need certain kind of testimony and affirmation from man. I created them. It's not because I need their approval, an affirmation to prove a point. But I say these things, one, these evidences that he's giving about John the Baptist, about who he is, his miracles, his authoritative teaching, and the Bible itself points to me. The reason why I'm sharing this is that so that you may be saved. And we should be floored by this. You know why? Do you remember who he is talking to? He's talking to religious groups who was curious about John the Baptist and Jesus initially, and then later found out his actual self-claim that he is God. It escalated their hatred toward him. And we're told in chapter 4, they now begin to kill him, proactively look for ways to kill Jesus. This is the group that Jesus is talking. I'm sharing these evidence not because I need some kind of testimony from my created creatures, but I'm sharing these so that you may be saved, to a group that hates him. What promotes and moves the heart of Jesus is love for their souls. He knows that they're in darkness. He knows that they can only act this way because the veils are covering their eyes. They're under the grips of Satan. So Jesus sees them, who are opposing them, hostile against them, but he sees them through the spiritual lenses. And I share this so that you may be saved. Dear church, why do you and I share our faith? Why do we give evidences of existence of Jesus? Why do we study apologetic at times to share? It is not to win an argument. It is not to prove that I am right and you're wrong. The whole motivation of why we share is because we long for their soul to know Christ as we have been redeemed, church. And this is, I think, where we go wrong. Our pride gets in the way. We forget why we do certain things. while we live for Christ. And this is an aspect, I believe, that needs to be revived in the heart of a church like ours. Love for souls who need Christ. Because this is the way that God loved us. Can I share with you God's love toward you and me? This is classically illustrated in Luke 15, the prodigal son. The marrying character is not the second son. The marrying character is not the first son. It just shows that the oldest son and the younger son are both lost. One was doing the father's work, but he was always angry and bitter. He didn't know the father. The second son knew that he was lost because what he asked of his father in the first century culture was to say, when he asked for the inheritance while he was still living, is to say, "Dad, I wish you were dead." That was what he was saying. He takes the inheritance and goes off and lives a party life, right? Do you remember what the father was doing all this time? When the son comes to his senses, and the reason why he returns to the father is because he understood and realized the character of his father. So he comes back just to be a mere servant. Remember the scene? When does the father see the son? The passage says, long way off, he saw the second son coming. You know what that means? The father waited every day, wishing his son to come back. Even though he said, "I wish you were dead." Wishing, maybe today is the day. Maybe he was disappointed day after day. But he waited, and when he saw the son, we're told that he ran. Not before he repented. He ran to him. That is the love of God toward you and I that was expressed in the cross. And his depth of his love has not changed. Because his love toward you and me is not dependent on our performance. That's the love the Bible teaches. And this is the gospel. He loved us while we were still sinners. Not when we repented. He loved us while we were still sinners. And this fuels the heart of a Christian, you see, to love people and their souls. Because at the heart of the day, you want others to know Christ as you have experienced it. That's sharing. If this is true, I think there's a couple conclusions that we can make. Why Christians are hesitant to be a witness or to share. Number one, fear of rejection, fear. I shared with you, we shouldn't be. We're just pointing to Jesus. Number two, Jesus is not that great. He's not an answer to everything in my life. Why should I share? We have many people who are sick in this church. Many cancer. What would happen if you found a cure for cancer but you wouldn't share? Even the world would say that's evil. Even the world would say that's evil. Then the only conclusion that I have is that he's not that great, which is a problem. I share with you at the beginning, something we find very important and precious, we share. That's a natural thing. Because that's what missions is. To go to a place where people don't know Christ so that they will come to know Christ and experience the grace and mercy and love that we have experienced. You know what a mission is? You know what a life of witness is? It's a lamp. You know what a lamp is? A beggar telling other beggars where there's food. And that's what we're doing. We're a lamp, we're not the light. And genuine love for souls. That Jesus was proactively engaged, sharing clearly and nicely to a group that was so hostile because he desired for them to come to the saving knowledge. And this is what it means to be spiritually alive. A new heart, a new purpose, and to be a lamp. In closing, C.S. Lewis said something interesting. He said something about praising God. A lot of non-Christians have this question. Why would God mandate his creatures to honor and praise him, right? This is his take. Quote, "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. It is not that out of compliment that lovers keep telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it is expressed. It's finding a good deal, a 90% sale in Target, but you can't share it with someone. That's frustrating. It's like finding something beautiful, but not able to share with something. It's frustrating. It completes it when we share it, and that's why he says, the catechism says that the man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. What that means, that glorifying God and enjoying him forever is the same thing. Therefore, fully to enjoy is to glorify. In commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. What is that completion? We may become a lamp for Jesus. Dear Mexico team, it is a privilege that we go in Christ's name through this church. Let us go serve. Serve hard. Work hard. Be a lamp. Do you know when you have age and you're maturing? You know, there's a difference when people age, you're just getting older, but you're not really maturing. You know how I know that you're maturing and not just aging? When you're younger, when people make compliment of you, beauty and your muscles, you say, wow, thank you. When you age, when people compliment you, you know what stirs your heart when you're mature? When people start to compliment your kids. How good they are. That's a sign of maturity. If you're 60 and you say, oh yeah, I look good, I think you'd still need to mature a little bit. That's what it means to mature in Christ. Because at the end of the day, we're lamps. It's bright at night, but when the sun comes out, no one notices. When Jesus appears, we disappear. That's what it means to be a lamb. That's my prayer, church. God has blessed us with so many things, but this is one area I believe we need to mature in. Love for souls. Love for souls. Let's pray. Oh, sorry, we're supposed to do something. We're supposed to pray for our Mexico team. Mexico team, can you come down and come to the center of the aisle? We have 17 of us. And we would like to send them as an extension of this church. In the middle, in the middle. right there, what we do with the babies. Church, let's stand together as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we have the privilege of sending this team and surround them. It's okay, boys, go up to the center and lift up a prayer that God will use them as a conduit, a mirror lamp, that everything that we do will point to our Savior, how great and wonderful he is. He would maintain the unity within this team. Pray for safety in travel. And through it all, this team's heart for the world and heart for God would deepen and widen even more. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you for this team. We thank you for stirring their hearts to serve your people in Aguas and Calientes. Father, will you work in our hearts so that we would find joy in being a mere lamp, but at the same time, Lord, it is you turned on the lamp through your Spirit's work in our lives. Because a lamp cannot turn it by itself. And it is you who oil us through your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in this team so that we would burn. That we would burn. So there would be a shining path to our Savior for everyone that we meet. Be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask our praise team to come forward. This is kind of awkward silence. I should ask the team to come a little bit earlier, but now let's worship the Lord and use these two songs as our prayer and to be witness of Christ.